Welcome to Conclave Radio,
Season 3!
I am one of your hosts, Casey Hall, and I'm joined by the rest of my co-hosts. Everyone, you can say your names.
Hi. I'm Nate.
Hi, I'm eating a cherry.
He sure is. That's Greg Dye.
That's Greg Dye. Wow.
We're back and better than ever, fellas.
Back to Conclave.
Looking good. Everything technically is working so far.
As of right now.
So far.
Win, win, win.
We are actually live on Facebook. So if you're listening right now and you actually want to watch us, then you can subscribe to our Facebook page and watch us there. Search Conclave on Facebook. If you're on Facebook watching,
we need you to subscribe.
We need you to subscribe and listen to our actual Conclave Radio podcast, where you can find it on Apple Podcast. You can find it on Spotify.
It's on your iPhone.
It's on your iPhone.
Look for your podcast app.
For those of y'all that are cool and use Android.
Yeah, whatever.
It's on your Android
It's on Stitcher as well.
Yeah, and you want to go there and search Conclave Radio.
And the reason I'm bringing this up now is because we actually had an interview with Mark Sparks,
right?
Which is going to be in this episode, and maybe this should.
And
be
if you're a viewer, you're going to miss out. So you need to go. And it's one of our best interviews we've ever had.
If you'd like to listen to our interview with Mark Sparks, go ahead and listen to it. It'll be out tomorrow, which is Thursday.
That's
the 15th.
Right, it will be, Casey.
And that's where you can listen to it. So go ahead and subscribe there as well.
That's right. So, I hope everyone's had a good summer. We've been back from hiatus.
It's been a good hiatus.
Yeah. I'm glad that I'm going to be here for, all the episodes.
Whoa.
Knock on wood.
For most of the episodes.
Also, if we sound like we're struggling to speak like normal people, it's because we're eating cherries, for those of you who are listening.
Nate and I are not eating cherries.
Yes.
We want to have radio gold with our voices, so we are not eating the
cherries. I'm radio gold, even if I'm eating cherries.
I'm waiting on mine.
You're waiting on yours.
Yes. You're waiting on your radio gold, or you're waiting?
I'm waiting on my cherry.
After the episode to listen to it?
Cherry.
Sit right there.
Gotcha.
You could just, like, be really quiet and not speak for a few minutes. So you can eat your cherry.
Which is what Casey did, because Casey's good like that.
Well, kind of. I still spoke.
Because you're good like that.
Because I'm good like that. That's right. It's so good to be back. Back in routine. Back on the internet.
Still more to do in our set, but you know, the more things change, the more they stay the same.
Sure, it really is looking good.
It's
looking really good.
Good job on the screen. If you're watching this, the screen behind, good job, Casey, on that.
Throughout the season, if you're a watcher, a viewer, you may see some changes in our background in the upcoming, by the end of the season, because we plan on doing some. That's my keys.
Let's be honest, we've been planning on doing stuff for a while.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's laid plans of mice and men.
I'm not going to promise anything anymore.
Notice he doesn't have a chair in here anymore.
That's true. You can't see it, but he's on a
Don't
drum.
Judge me in my box.
That was a Blake jab. I was saying that because he was supposed to help us do a lot of stuff. That was just a joke. Ooh. I'll tell him. I didn't mean it.
Hold on. I got to get my sound effects.
I didn't mean it all harsh like that.
Where is it at?
It's too late.
You missed your moment.
I don't know where all the sound effects are yet.
You have a lot to learn from Brandon Massey.
Yeah.
Because he is on point. Exactly. And we still can't afford that app. It's like $4,000. Yeah.
There it was. That was an explosion. Boom.
Boom. Mic drop. So everybody had a good summer?
Yes. Yeah. It was a great summer.
Junior year of high school for Mr. Nate Nunley.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm almost done. Halfway.
Yep.
Over halfway.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Because you had your
first
day.
Yeah,
so
that's right.
Yeah.
This time next year, you will be officially a member of not only Conclave Radio, but Conclave, dear sir. 1 year from now.
I'm excited.
Good job, intern Nate.
That's right.
Then we'll have to make you no longer an intern.
You're a little past third year. How? You're...
What are you...
I'm just calling you old.
Is that an old joke?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Uh-oh.
I've accepted it. It's fine.
4 to 40.
But I'm glad to be work partners now.
Thanks.
Can I say that?
I'm glad to be your work partner.
I enjoy seeing your face every day. It's one of my favorite parts of the day.
Sometimes 7 days a week, if you think about
That's also true. I feel like I've been
sometimes
here
not Fridays.
A lot lately.
Every once in a while,
being completely honest.
We might have a little visual distance on Fridays.
Especially this past weekend, I feel like I was here all the
time.
We
lived here.
We lived here
for the revival.
But that's okay, because it was very productive.
Yeah, the revival was amazing.
It was amazing.
Yeah, and now we'll
we'll get to that later.
Yeah. So it was great. It was great. So everybody had a good summer here in the Birmingham, Alabama.
I quit this summer. Yay!
Yay! That's right.
I didn't.
No, you didn't. Thank you. And Nate still hasn't come to my house to trim the hedges and cut my grass yet.
This
is terrible.
We're working on that. That's a secretary issue.
Yeah, I'll do this.
Is a secretary issue. Julie Nennelly.
There you go.
Well, I'm actually the secretary.
Oh, you're the secretary.
But it's a secretary issue. So
You're blaming yourself.
Oh, I did it.
Easy solution. I'll edit it.
I'll crop it out.
So basically, if you're watching us, you get to see all the goofs that the people that listen will not have to endure.
Yep,
that's true.
I mean, some of you gotta just leave because it's funny.
Yeah,
I mean, that's why we're here.
Right.
I mean, everybody likes the blooper reel, right?
Of course.
Like, that's why we
sure.
Sabrina
is working on our blooper reel from our promo videos from the revival.
That's true.
Chase's alone will be worth the processing gold.
Real?
Oh man. Real? Yeah. His videos were great.
Here's a stem for you.
There you go.
There you go.
Seasons, stems.
Let's talk about the revival.
The revival?
Yeah.
It was such a good revival.
It was good.
I felt revived.
Oh,
you
good.
You feel revived?
Good.
Yeah.
Yes, the Conclave College and Career Revival was actually this past weekend in August. We had it at the church at Metro, and it was called Awakening. Awakening Revival. You probably, if you follow us on Instagram or Facebook, you probably saw a lot of posts about it in the past couple weeks.
Yeah.
I had somebody say, I got the dates wrong, and I thought,
how?
Do you not see the countdown? We did 37-day countdown.
We have like...
Yeah.
I feel bad for that person.
Yeah.
Because they missed out. It was a great time. We had more people than we expected come.
We had to put out chairs.
It was real good showing.
It was amazing.
We had people from various churches come.
Great worship. Praise and worship by Chase and Andrew and Haley and everyone.
Yeah, the team did great.
The whole worship team. And Brandon Massey.
How many different churches do we have there?
If you combine Knots 1 and probably about four or five churches.
Yeah.
In County Yard.
That's good.
So
that's
I was really pleased.
Yeah.
And you know what? And we live in a culture, like when I grew up back in my day, churches, we did more stuff together, and now we're all on an island.
Yeah.
And that's terrible. And so, like, I told some of the churches that came, I said, hey, let us return the favor. You know, tell us of something that you're doing, and we will come. I talked to a guy the other day, and they're launching a college ministry, and I said, hey,
really?
You tell me the first night that you're having a college something, and I said, we'll all come. I said, we'll make your
first.
I said, we'll all come your first night. We want to return the favor. We're not an island.
That's something I didn't think of until, like, maybe afterwards, how... You know, not many have a college and career, like a ministry dedicated to the college or the young adult like that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say we definitely weren't the first. And but I'm saying it's not common.
Yeah, so 20 to 35 is a lost age for the church, which is really sad.
It's really sad, especially with the upcoming future. I mean, that's the people I need to target.
Those are the people that ask really hard questions, which the rest of the church needs to be asked.
We want you when you're born. We want you when you're a kid. We want you when you're in youth group. But we lose you until you get married and you have babies.
Yeah.
And I don't mean our church here specifically, but just church in general.
Church in general is having a hard time.
Well, like, that was one of the first things we talked about was when you get to college, you're on your own for the first time, meaning a lot of kids in college when they're off somewhere.
You're not made to go. You're not. Yeah.
You try to find a different church. You don't want to go to church. You don't think, you know. But to hear that the revival may have sparked some churches wanting to have a dedicated college.
Well, we had people that came that were getting that were looking at launching one at their church.
Right.
And so I told them, I said, well, like, you know, if you do this, you let me know and our whole group will come.
Yeah.
You know, and
absolutely.
You on your first night. Because I would want somebody to do that with me.
Right.
Yeah.
I would want somebody to show up so that not only do we look like we, but they can help us to kind of make a social.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What if on our first night, our first night was 8, and I was so excited about our 8. But what if we had 38 there on our first night? Even if it was from another church, it just puts you more at ease, and that
makes you feel more welcome, makes you feel more comfortable. Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. But it was good. The revival was great. Mark Sparks came down, and I know if you're
he laid it down.
He laid it down.
Two Great altar calls.
Yeah.
His sermons were just, I was just, he said, man, I didn't know what to do Friday night. Your pastor was just, he was like hunched over and he had his hand in his chin. He was like really paying attention. You know, and I said, yeah, he gets engaged. You know, he was there to support. That was awesome that he was there. Miss Jen was there. But I told him I could have listened to him for another 30, 45 minutes. It was that easy, good both nights.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. I ran the sound the first night, mm-hmm. and, like, I took notes on my phone. Sure, like, I was like, right, yeah. Yeah, I was like, I know, next slide, ooh, that's out. Good. Yeah. I'm like, type it down real quick, and then, okay, next, yeah.
And then anytime your speaker wears a kimono.
So you missed it. He wore a kimono.
Oh, the next night he Saturday was talking night. About the prodigal son.
Wow. Yeah.
And talking about how his father put the robe and the sandals and the ring on him. So he got the robe and the sandals and the ring out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Although I do have to disagree with Mark Sparks about one thing he said on Saturday.
Of course you do. Of course you do.
If sandals were good enough for Jesus, they're good enough for me.
I thought about that too. He got sandals out, but he didn't wear them. Because he said, quote,
he had a good reason.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you were going to have a theological.
He's got issues about guys.
Oh, no. I loved his theology. Theology
was good.
On par.
I thought you were about to drop, you know, like.
Oh, no. If I was going to do that, I would have done that Saturday while we had him here.
I wouldn't, because it would take forever to take my shoes off in front of people.
Yeah, that's also because
I wear. Plus, everyone's like watching you take your shoes off, and you're just like, you know.
Yeah.
Who wants to do
that? Also, because I wear
because he wants to take your shoes off and you don't have your feet washed or something like that.
And when you're with the high top shoes, I've learned that you have to untie when you take them off and you have to tie them when you put them on.
Yeah.
It's not as easy.
Yeah.
Well, but they look good.
I don't know about you, but my high tops, I even have to undo the first lace. Like, get enough space to get my foot out.
But I definitely have to, like, shimmy it.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's so, like, I love high tops. I love how comfortable they are.
You shimmy it, and then you can. You know, force your foot out. But they look good, so it's okay.
Yeah.
That's all that matters.
But it was good. His message was just, it was very timely. I think it was something that we all needed to hear in some form or fashion. I've heard that from several people. They said, man, it was really, God was speaking to me, and he really confirmed it through the message. And then the altar call was really nice. We had some great people that were there to help pray for people. And I talked to some people that said, you know, normally I don't feel comfortable going up to the altar. But, you know, I knew that I needed to. And I think that was totally worth it, you know. And I just hearing that really encouraged me, because sometimes we don't, and we've all been there. We're like, oh, I really think I know I should be prayed for. I know I should be on the altar, mm-hmm. but I have reservations. And so I was glad that there was a sense of liberty there,
absolutely.
Where people said, you know what,
yeah.
who cares?
I mean,
you
know, that's one thing that I've learned, and I'm pretty sure we've talked about at one point, is that. Everyone has a reason to go to the altar. You don't have to have a huge thing in your life in order, you know, to receive prayer, to want prayer, you know, anything big or small. There's a reason to go to the altar and pray and thing, and, you know, so the more people, the better.
Well, I think part of it is our flesh that says, if I go to the altar, I'm admitting that I have a problem. But the Spirit says, hey, guess what? Everybody has a problem. Like, even the highest level pastors, they have stuff that they need the Spirit to work on,
absolutely.
And that they need prayer over. So,
and even if you may want to go to the altar just because you just need a little extra room for your praise break, you know, and sometimes you just, you know, or you're wanting to go and you're wanting to intercede for someone, or you're, mm-hmm. you know, and you know, people are going to say, well, I wonder what he's down there for. I wonder what she's down there for. Well, who cares?
That's between me and Jesus.
Exactly. You know, and so I'm glad that there was a freedom there. That's something we all should practice, not just at the revival, but on Sunday mornings where you go to your worship. Where do you go to church? Feel liberty. Just go.
Yeah.
And I'm talking to myself too. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, that's a conversation that I've had with elders and with pastors, is elders and pastors and people in church leadership say that they feel uncomfortable going. And I'm like, how do you expect people in your congregation to feel like they have the freedom to go down there if you don't? Well, I'm an elder. I can't look like I have problems.
They say, what?
Yeah.
It's almost more welcoming when they go down there, though, because you're like, oh, okay.
If I see one of our elders go down and be like, I need prayer,
it makes
regardless of what he needs prayer over.
Yeah.
It's leadership. Yeah. They're one of us, too.
Yeah.
You know.
I tell the same stories, you know. I was in a service one time where the pastor of the church, during worship, he got on his face, like laid down, face down during worship. And it always stuck with me, because I said, well, you know, that's... You don't see that a lot, and it really spoke to me, because it just made me say, you know what? You know, I'm a worshiper first.
Did I ever send you that picture? I have a picture of one of our pastors and it was during a time of prayer. And he got down and he was on his knees and he had his face on the floor. And I mean, it was just like the Holy Spirit said, if your pastors aren't going down to the altar and submitting to me, how am I supposed to lead the church? And I mean, it was so powerful.
And I'm thankful that we have pastors we had like that, that do that. And we have a worship team. Worship team just, they were very, one of the great things Saturday night was, and worship was just so powerful Saturday night. And I was supposed to come up and I was going to introduce Mark. I know I hit the table, sorry. And I was going to introduce Mark.
It's going to ruin the whole episode.
And I knew, I thought, you know, we don't need that, you know. And so I said, hey, you just go ahead and go. And I thought that he really let that moment linger.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't rush it. Mm-hmm. And I thought, and he gave opportunity for us to continue in that worship. And that's one of the great things, you know, we weren't really tied down to a certain time. And I appreciated that he did that. Because not everybody would do that. Some people are like, okay, let's all go back to our seats. I'm ready. And if he had that, that'd have been fine too. But I appreciate that he allowed for more liberty there in that moment. We are really going to enjoy the interview coming up. So I really encourage you, if you're a viewer,
please
go to iTunes right now, go to the podcast, and hit subscribe. I'm not overselling it by saying it's probably our best interview. I mean, or one of the best interviews.
Second, probably to Greg when he came on and did Five Random Questions.
Greg Dye?
I don't really remember that one much.
That was in the olden days.
Long time ago in a galaxy in the olden days.
Wow. You had to search really deep to find that episode.
When we were recording things from a cell phone?
That was at my house.
It was at your house.
That was at my house. Yeah, buddy.
All right.
No, but Mark interview was probably one of the best, if not the best. Yeah,
he did a great. He was very transparent. I mean, you'll if you weren't at the revival, you will feel like you did. You were
just
there
by listening
just
to
by being
and talking about a voice for radio.
The guy's got a great voice for radio. Yeah, good job by Mark.
So, we're about to have an interview with Mark Sparks, but first.
So we have the great honor today, our first guest for season 3,
whoop, whoop, whoop.
The great Pastor Mark Sparks.
Yay!
Hey.
Hey. Hello, everybody.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you guys doing?
So well.
It's great to be here. Thank you all for having me. It's a blessing. It's an honor. You guys look beautiful. I don't know if you guys can see these guys. You guys can't see these guys, but they are so
not yet.
Oh, very
so,
handsome.
Yeah. Now, this is the first time you've ever had this honor.
Yes, I've never been on a podcast ever.
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 Well, we've never been on a good podcast. So it's the first forever.
No! That's not true. I've heard this is the top 30 podcasts in Alabama, so congratulations.
I guarantee you it's the top 30 podcasts produced in Metro Church.
Mm.
It's in the top 30 of Metro Church.
Amen to that.
Easily.
You know?
What's bad is there's only one show that's produced at Metro Church.
And we're not sure we're number one.
That's right. Maybe a distant second.
Yes,
but as many people know, Mark is here for our Awakening Revival Conclave presenting for college and career students. And so Mark is with us. So we are very glad that he decided to come be with us today for this little segment and talk to him and kind of hear his heart. He's a college pastor at the Mount Olive Church of God in Cleveland, Tennessee.
Yes.
And so, Mark, let's just get right into it. Last night was a phenomenal message. You had a lot of us on the edge of our seat.
Yeah.
It was a really good night. Not trying to pump you up or nothing, but it was a phenomenal message. First, how did you feel it went?
I thought it was really good. There was first of all, thank you guys for having me. It's a real honor and blessing just to be here. I know Metro has a rich tradition of great ministry, and so even coming out is just an honor and a blessing, and then also just to be with you, and I don't know if you guys know this or not, but me and Clint were college roommates.
Yes, we were.
It's 20 years ago. Can you believe that? 20 years.
Time does fly, doesn't it?
Where does the time go?
I'm 20 years old.
Yeah. It hurts, doesn't it, Mark?
And he's in college. So one of his college roommates he can look forward to.
Oh, my goodness, yes. So just to be here is just, it's cool to see how ministry, we start off in a ministry program, and now we're both college pastors. And so it's just really cool how God works and how God pulls that together. And then also being here and being here last night, kind of seeing your students, seeing some of my students being together is really awesome. I think there was some great altar response. And then just for me being able to share some things that are on my heart, and what God's been speaking to me recently, I feel like just talking about truth and how today truth seems to be manipulated all the time, mm-hmm. and that our truth is not based on our feelings, is not based on what the media says, but our truth is still based on God, still based on the Bible, still based on what thus saith the Lord. So just really being able to share that and how God equips us to tear down the walls of the enemy and the strongholds that are in our mind, I think really resonated, and it still resonates in my heart. It's still something that I really want to share to my students, and really want to be a strong something that I share in my ministry. So I just want to thank you for the platform, and I'm excited about tonight, and I think it's going to be a great time. I think it's just it's a great revival, and I'm excited for what God's going to do. You know what I'm saying?
Let me ask you this. When we talk about, you mentioned, you know, we don't base truth based on feelings or experience, and how do you combat, you know, one of the phrases you hear a lot right now is, well, I'm just speaking my truth.
Yeah.
I'm speaking my truth. And well, that's, you know, you can't talk to me about this because this is my truth. Right. How do you combat that based on God's word?
Yeah, well, that's one of the biggest phrases that I've heard recently, and it's something that, you know, you honestly want to empathize with people. I feel like I'm an empathetic person, and I always want to hear other people's sides. I always want to hear what other people are going through, because what they're going through is, a lot of times, their reality. You know what I mean? So you never want to not hear what people are saying, not hear where they're hurting, and not be where they're at, because as a minister, you want to hear what people are saying and where their hurts are. But you cannot take away what the Lord is, what God says in His Word, because the Word of God is truth, and truth is what sets people free. You know what I mean? Our opinion does not set people free. You know, mm-hmm. my empathy, my sorrow for what you're going through, my good thoughts and good vibes will not set you free. It might mm-hmm. make you feel good for a minute, mm-hmm. yeah. but that does not set people free. Truth will set you free. You know what I mean? So that for me, when I am able to share the truth of God, that truth will not return void. His word will never return void.
Yeah.
And so for me, as much as it might hurt at the moment, all I can do in this life is share the truth of God, because that is the only thing that I can give that I know will return a seed that will produce good fruit.
Yeah.
You know, my hope, my words, you know, they might sound good. They say I have a good voice for radio. You know what I mean? It might be soothing at the moment. You know what I mean?
Good face, too.
Right, well.
Oh,
maybe.
Oh, maybe. Thank you. Oh, I resemble it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But, you know, those things, a good tweet or a good thing on Facebook might be good for a moment, but only the Word of God can repair the voids, can repair the brokenness. And so in those moments, man, that's what we have to give. That's what we have to do, because he's the one that repairs the broken. And not me, and not my empathy, not my sorrow, not me. I'm not the gift. God is the gift.
And you were sharing a testimony last night, and I was sitting there listening to it, and your emotion came through in the testimony. But I was sitting there thinking, God never calls us to be comfortable. And a lot of what you were saying last night was, you know, this measure of truth is going to give you comfort. Mm-hmm. But it's not a real measure of truth.
Right.
It's a measure of your comfort.
Yeah.
And some of the stories you told, I mean, they resonated with me. I was like, yeah, I've been in those situations. I really have felt that uncomfortable situation, that extreme discomfort of being where God was using me.
Right.
But you're like, I've still got to speak truth.
Right.
Even if it's uncomfortable.
And here's the thing about it. One of my favorite quotes I've heard one of my friends say recently is, you know, they call the Holy Spirit the comforter. And why would He give us a comforter if we're always comfortable? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So the Holy Spirit is necessary in places that are uncomfortable. And so, absolutely. You know, Andy Stanley says, we run toward the messes. You know, as Christians, we're called to the messes. We're not called to just sit in the church and sit in the pew, but we're called to run to places where God is needed. Yeah. We should be a hospital. You know what I mean? Where broken people run to. Not just an ivory tower where people are comfortable sitting in a throne and looking out into the masses. We should be a hospital people run to when they're broken, when they're hurting. So not that they can find us, but they can find Him.
Yeah.
So that's my heart.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Well,
I'm sorry. Am I preaching right now?
No, no, this is perfect. Yeah, we're ready.
We'll take up an offering.
That's exactly right.
Not for me, for Conclave.
Look deep in your wallets. That's right. All right, so let me just kind of give you the rundown, Mark. I'm just going to shoot straight with you.
Absolutely, okay? I'm ready.
So when we have guests on Conclave Radio, we have kind of a scoring system.
Okay.
And we judge our guests based on something that we call 5 random questions.
Okay.
Soon to be music intro. Right. And so we're going to go, the three of us, we're going to kind of go back and forth. We're going to ask you 5 random questions.
Right.
Let me give you a pro tip on how to be successful.
Okay.
Here's what you don't want to do. And I don't think I've ever heard you do this before. I don't think it's in your vocabulary to say, no comment. I'm not sure. I don't really know how to answer that.
Right.
Yeah, you don't want to give that. You want to give an answer.
Right.
You want to elaborate.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You don't want to give like a 2-word answer. No.
Right.
You want to really go all out for these 5 random questions. Just so you know, one of the questions we will not ask you today, and we're all in firm agreement on this. We've moved on since it's season 3.
We have moved
we're
on.
We're not asking the hot dog question.
No.
Okay? It's over.
And I'll be honest, I thought about it.
That ship has sailed. So there is no pressure on that. Okay. So it's 5 random questions time. Casey Hall always starts us off.
Okay.
Let 5 random questions begin, Mr. Hall.
All right. Mr. Mark Sparks, question 1.
Yes.
What is one fictional character that you wish was a real person?
One fictional character that I wish was a real person. That's a great question. Let me think for 2 seconds. I wish that the first one that kind of pops to my mind, and I don't know why, but I want to answer this quickly because I don't want to take forever. I've recently watched Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone and all these Harry Potter movies. Not that I necessarily wanted to, but I was fascinated by it. But the character of Snape,
okay.
You know what
yes.
I mean?
Uh-huh.
And that story, when you watch the end of it, I don't want to ruin it for anybody that hasn't watched
it. Hashtag no spoilers.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a different show.
But...
it blew my mind, and I wanted to just run up and hug him and weep into his arms because of the amount of emotion that I felt at that moment. It was probably the most emotion I've ever felt in a movie, and I hated it that I felt that in that movie because I told myself for years...
For him.
And I've never... I told myself for years, I will never watch Harry Potter.
Right.
Because I'm a man.
Right.
I'm a grown man. You know what I mean? And I will not watch little wizard children running around with wands.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But at that moment, as tears were streaming down my face,
yeah.
You know what I mean? And nobody else was in the room.
Yeah. So this was just you.
This was just
your
me.
Own pistol watching Harry Potter.
With a bag of Doritos and just crumbs all over my chest. You know what I mean? A bottle of Yoo-Hoo.
Right.
You know what I mean? And just chocolate milk all over my face and just weeping. Like blubbering, like out loud. You know what I mean? If he could be alive, I would just love to just hug him. You know what I mean? And leave Dorito dust all over him and just, you know, and just let him know it's going to be okay. I judged you incorrectly and I love you. And Jesus loves you.
That's right. Well done. Well done. Good start.
Good.
Very good start. Very good start.
Greg, would you like to do number 2? Or
it's up to you.
Okay, let's go, Greg.
We're going to go this way.
Go ahead.
Round. Yeah, okay. Greg, now, okay. Question number 2.
Your question number 2.
Mm. And look, just there is no telling what is about to come from this man's mouth. Mm. He, oh man. Okay,
he can get
that's pressure
to
you.
Yeah.
Man, I'm ready.
Describe
your
favorite smell.
Mm.
In 17 words.
In 17 words.
17 words.
17 words.
17.
Oh, what?
Favorite smell, 17 words, random.
Wow, that's.
Oh,
the,
my goodness.
That's the rest of the time on the segment.
Oh,
in 17. Oh. Oh,
no, you don't.
No, I'm just kidding.
No, you don't have to do 17.
Can we revert it to like
I've been overruled in 2 sentences.
2 sentences.
Well.
Okay.
Is that what you meant by 17 words?
Yeah, about.
Oh, I thought you meant like 17 adjectives. I was like,
ooh, that'd
man,
be even better.
No, that's what I thought.
One of the greatest smells I've smelled recently that has permeated my mind, and that I probably would want to smell for the rest of my life, is I've just recently went to Alaska and I walked upon a glacier, and it was a time where there was a lot of stress and pressure in my life, but I walked out there and it was perhaps the cleanest air that I've ever smelled, and I felt like the smell itself went into my soul. And everything that I had been feeling for a long time, just the burdens and cares of life, as I breathed in that air and I saw mountains and I saw this glacier over here and I looked around and I saw this mountain over here and I just saw a sky that seemed to never end, and then the freshness of the air just kind of went inside and everything that was within me kind of melted away, and I said, there's bigger things than my problems. And so that smell and that kind of just imprinted in my brain. And I said, I never want to forget this moment of when I realized that there are things out here that are bigger than my problems, that are bigger than me. And so it was kind of like the smell itself, because I think smell is one of the biggest registers in our brain.
Yes,
it is.
Sure. Mm-hmm. For sure.
And so like the visuals were great, but then I just remember just breathing in, and even the cold when I breathed in kind of caught my lungs, you know what I mean? And it was like, and I could just feel something different in my mind. I could feel something different in my body, and I just wanted to stay in that, like, when I breathed in, I just wanted to hold it and just know that I was alive, and that all the things that I hated about my life at that moment were gone, and I was just so happy to be there, to be alive, and to be breathing. And so that smell, I never want to forget, ever. Yeah. Was that two sentences?
That was amazing.
I think
that was
one run-on sentence.
That's okay.
Of emotion and passion.
You're all in your feelings, Mark.
That's
right. You're all in your feelings.
I would have described cinnamon. That's way better.
I heard an artist talking about another singer, and she said it like this, and I've loved this. One of my favorite phrases. She said, this artist makes me want to breathe deeper and live longer. Mm. I think that's one of the best phrases ever. Mm. Makes me want to breathe deeper and live longer.
Yeah.
Okay, so two pretty good answers. Okay.
Thank you.
So now normally I don't get to do number three, but three is what we call the hump question.
Oh.
Okay. Really, yeah. If you can get past three,
okay,
smooth sailing.
All right.
Okay. But I mean, this is
batting cleanup. But
big third, deal. But yeah. There's the bases are loaded.
You're the heavy hitter.
That's well. I don't want to say that, but all right. Here's mine. And none of us really like to wait. I don't really like to wait. But where do you not mind waiting? Ooh. Like, some of us may not like to wait maybe at the dentist office. But where do you not mind waiting?
Where do I not mind waiting? I'm going to take this to a philosophical place.
Oh, okay.
Ooh, okay.
All right.
My name is Mark Sparks. I'm 37.
That's right.
I'm single.
Yes.
Okay. For a long time, I had a difficulty with God, because I had this vision in my mind of what was perfect, and that I'll be married and have 3.5 kids.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. One of them was going to be short. Just weirdly short, because I'm 6'2". But after a while, and through much prayer and supplication, but I found myself in a place where I was waiting, but then I realized that in this place of waiting that I didn't have to wait and stop my life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But I think more I was able to experience what God wanted to do in this place of waiting. So I've been able to speak in Alaska. I've been able to do missions trips in New Mexico. I've been able to go to Europe. I've been able to experience all these different things that I never thought I'd be able to do. And if I was, you know, married and had kids, it'd probably be a little more of a struggle. But because I've been untethered, and because I've been in this season of life, the waiting season, I've been able to do a lot more. And so I've been able to not... Some people ask me, like, how do you do it? I say, I'm able to embrace the waiting and to live a full life.
Yeah.
And some people can't handle that. Some mm-hmm. people are like, well, I can't wait. What, God, where are you? What are you doing right now? You know what I mean? What's your plan for my life? This is the plan that God has for my life. Mm-hmm. So when I'm while I'm waiting, I'm going to do everything. I'm going to run as hard as I can, God, towards your plan, towards your purpose, towards your destiny. And if this is what it was, what your destiny from it for me is right now, and if I'm going to be single for the rest of my life, that's fine, because I'm living to the fullest. I'm doing everything that possible that you called me to do, and as far as it's been right now, it's been amazing. Yeah. So thank you. And so, you know, waiting at the DMV stinks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Waiting at a Mexican restaurant sometimes is fun because it smells delicious. You know what I mean? I love queso dip. But I don't mind waiting in life because there's always amazing things all around me, and I love it. And so that's kind of the Jesus answer.
Yeah. That's a good one.
But I'll go ahead and give that answer.
All right. Number four, Casey Hall.
Right on. Question number four. I know I'm the youngest person here, so I guess...
Quit bragging.
A lot of the stuff I do is considered childhood activities still. But what is one... What was your favorite childhood activity that you wish you could still do today?
My favorite childhood activity that I wish I could still do today. I am also... Once again, I'm 37 single. I still do a lot of childhood activities. I feel like...
Drink Yoo-Hoo and watch Harry Potter. Yeah,
basically, I have a lot of action figures. I have 200... Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle action figures.
Nice.
I have about 150 Star Wars action figures. I have over 400 wrestling action figures.
You have wrestling action? Did you yeah. look in my? You looked in my.
I saw it. Right? Yeah, absolutely. Okay. I was admiring them. So I collect toys. Oh gosh, this is one reason why I'm not married. but you know, there's times when I get on a bike. I just bought a bicycle and ride it, and it's exhilarating. It's fun. It reminds me of your past. I got on a swing. I'm always afraid I'm going to break the swing. You know what I mean?
They're not made for 6 foot 2
right,
people.
Yeah, exactly. And the weight. I'm always worried about the weight process of it, like how much before it breaks, and am I over that limit at this point? If I'm going to say a childhood activity that I did when I was a kid that I wish I could go back to, I think would be probably, I remember sitting in church, and when I would be tired or whenever whenever I wanted to, I could just lean up against my dad.
Oh.
And he'd put his arm around me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think in life, a lot of times, there's things that happen that get difficult. And when you're an adult, sometimes it's difficult to just look at somebody and say, hey, it hurts. Mm-hmm. Hey, it's hard. I don't know what to do right now. And it's hard to be vulnerable. And when you're a kid, a lot of times you can just look at your parents and you just have that look in your eye, and then they just come up to you and just hug you and tell you it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
And I just remember something. I just right now, I just have this image of being in church and just being tired, and I just lean on my dad, and he just automatically put his arm around me. Yeah. And just, I could fall asleep, or I could just, it's just the most comforting thing in the world. I think sometimes I wish that I could go back to those days and just have that person, that thing that I could just lean up against and just have that feeling of security that everything would be okay. So that would be the childhood activity, I think.
Nice. Nice answer.
Very nice.
Number five. I cannot believe we're giving you two questions. Greg Dye, number five.
Yeah, see, after my first question, you're going to be like, oh, that you should have given me that one first. That's easy. Okay, so number five.
Mm-hmm.
Bring it home.
Okay.
Yep.
Which country would you want to be the overall ruler, president, king, whatever title
dictator.
You want? What, dictator.
Sure.
First citizen, whatever title you want to give. Complete control over a country. Which country?
Man. Wait, which country?
If he had control over the country?
He gets to choose one country that he gets to be the complete ruler of.
Man.
And including the United States, he could say United States. Oh,
so he could cop out and say the United States.
But that's not really a fun answer.
Right. Well, because he could do that.
Right. That's the
like that's a realistic answer. He could run,
but not,
and we would all vote for Mark Sparks.
Right, whatever.
But then he's president. He's only got, you know, maybe four, eight. Yeah.
It doesn't seem like a very popular place to be the leader of. So
that is unfortunate.
Woo! But guess the answer I would have right now would be probably, you know, I don't know if you know this or not, but I am half Filipino.
I knew that.
Yeah. And so my mother is from the Philippines, and I have never been there before, but I've seen a lot of pictures. I have a lot of family that's over there, and I know that they have a lot of issues, and our church actually sponsors an orphanage over there. I know there's a lot of poverty over there. I know they've had a lot of just countries that have kind of run their government before, and so if I could maybe do anything, if I could run in any country or be the president of any country, perhaps I could do a part of being a blessing to a country and bless the Philippines, because it's part of my heritage, and I didn't grow up with my mom. But every time I'm around the Filipino culture, it's one of the friendliest, most family-oriented cultures that you can be around. They're some of the most giving people, some of the most loving people, and I would love just to be able to give back some of the love and support that they've given to me. And so, yeah, the Filipinos are amazing people, and so just to be part of their culture would be a blessing.
That's a great answer.
Well, thank you.
Oh, you get a round of applause, sir. Well done.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. That was fun.
You navigated 5 random questions like a champ. Well done, sir.
And you know what? Great. I'm actually going to make my wife listen to this version of 5 random questions.
I'm also.
She picks and chooses. Yeah. But that answer right there, you will have won my wife over.
Really?
She absolutely loves Filipino food. It is one of her favorite foods.
I love Filipino food.
And she's a chef, so that's
50 pounds of who I am is Filipino food. Lumpia.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
We had a friend whose grandmother was still, like, that's all she spoke was Filipino. I mean, she was full-blooded, and that's the culture. She had come over here, but she was Filipino. And Leslie said, can you get your grandmother make me some lumpia?
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, sure.
Yes, we have a Filipino woman in my church, and I always beg her to make me some lumpia. And we always said, if I get a pet, if I get a dog, we're going to name it Pancet.
Pancet.
Little Pancet. Oh, little Pancet. Yeah, so that's Filipino food.
Well, I know by the time people listen to this, the revival, quote,
will be over.
Will have come and gone.
Yeah.
But will it in our hearts?
You may still be here because the may drop down tonight, and you may still be going on in the tent and in the athletic
that's
field.
That's true. We'll keep having
so you may still be here.
Right. I need to.
But so by the time, but you have already have spoken tonight, by the time it's Wednesday when this drops. Mm-hmm. So we are so thankful that you came and be with us. And how awesome it was to get you to be with the Conclave Radio.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And we will share it. We'll hope you'll share it on social media.
Sure.
And it was just a great, man, I really enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah.
It maybe was, towards the top of the list. I'm going to be honest.
Oh, a great way to start the new season. Man. Just it is.
No, we're not just saying it. We've had some real lemons.
No names.
No names. We won't mention. But that's awesome. So we appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Well, thank you, buddy. I appreciate being here.
What a great first episode.
Yeah, man. No better way to do it than with Mark Sparks. So what a great interview that was. So our premiere episode, season 3. That was great.
Season 3.
Setting a high bar.
High bar.
It's a high bar.
We're
going to
do for next week. Stay tuned.
I have a good feeling about this season.
Yep.
Viewers, you're going to get something better next week. Listeners, you're probably going to get something better next week. Probably.
Live guest next week is what we're hoping for.
That's the hope.
Yeah.
And some work on the
room.
We're gonna have to get another chair.
Ooh,
yeah,
you're out, intern. I'm just kidding. You can cuss about me, but we'll share a mic.
Yeah, okay. We'll work on stuff. We'll figure stuff out. Like I said, things will be changing. So, if you're in the metropolitan Birmingham area of Alabama, you can join us at Conclave College and Career Ministry at Metropolitan Church. We have it every Sunday at 6, or you can join us for Conclave U at 6:30, where we will be starting our adulting season.
Adulting!
Which is
we'll talk
also
about next week.
Yeah, we will be talking about that next week. But if you can't... Oh, also Metropolitan Metro Church, you can join us every Sunday at 10 o'clock.
That's right.
Pastor Jason Browning, he's great, great message. But if you're not in the area, that's okay. You can follow us on social media.
We're all over social media.
You are, in fact.
You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, even YouTube.
YouTube, absolutely.
And like I said earlier, you can listen to us on almost any platform, Stitcher, Spreaker, Spotify. iTunes, Apple Podcasts. Right. And I'm trying to look for other platforms. If you can't find us anywhere, if you have a favorite platform, just leave a comment, or you can email us at conclaveradio@gmail.com.
That's right.
I'm going to go ahead and put it out there since it's a new season.
That's right.
And you know what? I think that's...
well done, fellas.
Well done. I'm going to give everyone high fives.
High fives all around. So we'll see everyone next week
on the next episode of
Conclave Radio.